Good afternoon and welcome back to America's Workforce Broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. This next segment of the show brought to you in part by the Columbus Central Ohio Building Trades. We're going to get to Dorsey Hager in a minute and the North Coast Labor Federation. Let's go to our live line number one right now. Welcome, Dorsey, to the broadcast. Hey, Dorsey, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me. Good afternoon. Happy Friday and the second Friday post Thanksgiving. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving and everything's going well up in Cleveland.
Dorsey, where did this year go? That's my big question. Jeez.
I don't know. I was just thinking about that. I mean, the Big Ten championship games tomorrow, Ohio State playing in it again, 16-point favorites over Wisconsin. Hopefully all goes well. But I was just thinking about that today. Like, not only where did this football season go, but where did the year go? You're right.
And
it flew by.
I know.
Flew by.
And we're entering 2020. It's like, wow. I mean, we remember Y2K?
Yes.
Holy smoke.
It's just years away from Y2K.
Well, lots happened in those 20 years, too. Some of it good, a lot of it bad, too. No doubt about that.
Yes.
But the good news is what's happening down in Columbus. You and I have been talking about this for the past couple of shows, and there's a building boom going on in Central Ohio. Let's get an update here. I'm just Amazon, Facebook, Google, a lot of high tech, and then you throw in the Columbus Crew, a medical center there at OSU. Just why don't you run down the scope of this thing is monumental. Go ahead, Dorsey.
Well, it is, and it's absolutely crazy, and we have no illusions. We realize that we're in a gold boom right now, one that I've never seen in my 26, 27-year career here in Columbus and Central Ohio, and you just hope for the foot to stay on the pedal and to keep going forward. And everybody I talk to, and we realize that things can happen, markets can collapse, the stock market could take a, you know, everything, that things could affect this. But everybody I talk to says that with all the work on the books and everything signed, sealed, delivered on the dotted line, projects and developments and everything okay, customers and everything, that it looks like that it could remain like this, you know, positively for the next 4 to 6 years here in Columbus and Central Ohio. That's how much work is there. And I think a good example that I'll kind of start off with the laundry list here of projects is Facebook. I was just out there a couple of days ago, just out in New Albany, which is a suburb northeast of Columbus, and they're saying that when they're done with the Facebook campus, that the footprint of their campus is going to be larger than downtown Columbus. And there's 10 buildings out there already agreed upon. The first building has already been completed and turned over to Facebook. Building 2 is almost done. They're working on building 3, and they just started setting steel on building 4. So that's buildings 2, 3, and 4 of 10 buildings. And I mean, there's probably easily 1,100 workers out there right now on that one site in those 3 buildings. So that's a huge project. Amazon, who continues the building boom here in Columbus and Central Ohio, just bought 600 acres in Plain City. Their hopes are to develop that over the next 10 years. The first piece of development is a 125 acres of that. They're going to build a $600 million data center there. So that's a huge project. Ohio State, OSU Medical Center, it's going to be, you know, they're starting breaking ground on their tower, $2 billion. Plus, they have a lot of other projects that are going to be going on the campus. And then, of course, the one you mentioned, Columbus Crew Stadium, it's about a $325 million development here in the Arena District. $230 million of it is their new state-of-the-art Columbus Crew Stadium. So a lot of good things going on in Columbus, a lot of good things going on in Central Ohio, a lot of projects, a lot of work for a lot of members, which is a good thing.
Let's just backtrack it here a little bit. Did I hear 10 buildings for Facebook? Is that right?
10 buildings, and that's what they've planned so far. There could be more. That's what they've got planned so far that are going to be over the next 4 to 6 years. So,
what?
And the size and scope of some of these buildings that are including data centers, support centers, office building is absolutely incredible. I mean, it's hard for me to describe, but I've been out there a couple of times, and like I said, I was just out there a week ago, and it's one of those projects that if you go out there once a month, you can see significant changes. That's how much work is being done, and that's the size and scope of it. But this, it's just a huge, huge project. And then right next door to it, I forgot about that, right next door to that, Google purchased a large swath of land, and they're getting ready to start. They've already broke ground on a $600 million data center. So they're saying that New Albany is going to be, could be, and I think it's well on its way, to be in the Silicon Valley of the Midwest, and it's going to be a huge tech center for a lot of people and for a lot of reasons here, because logistically, the geographic location of Columbus and Central Ohio, the direct flight to the West Coast, to Silicon Valley. So I think that's starting to happen, and they're saying it can continue to build that way.
Holy smoke. Is the airport upgraded enough to handle this? Because there's going to, as you indicated, there's going to be a lot of travel to various parts of the country, especially out to California.
Oh, yeah, the airport, that's another thing that I haven't mentioned. The airport is right now going, starting a 10-year redevelopment plan that's going to be about a $2 billion renovation. The first thing they're starting on is adding spaces with new garages, new parking facilities, and also new rental car facilities to handle the demand of people flying in and out. And then after that, they're looking at adding runways, adding another terminal. So there's a 10-year plan to redevelop and to add on and expand the airport. That's going to be about $2 billion as well. So
I tell you,
right. I forgot all about that.
Just blown away. I mean, the common denominator here is data centers, and you know, in the tech world that we live in today, that's so important. You got to build these because everybody's using their tech devices. I mean, it makes sense. My question here: how is this able to be done? I mean, we are envious here in northeastern Ohio. Right now, we're trying to hold on to Sherwin-Williams, and that's a scary thing. Hopefully, they're not going to leave the area. I'm hearing possibly they may go to Atlanta. I don't know. But, Dorsey, tell our listeners, what's making this happen in central Ohio?
I think there's a lot of things. I think there's a lot of positive in central Ohio. Like I said, with the geographic location, I think the center of the state capital, I think a huge driver is the Ohio State University, you know, the largest campus in the United States. Not only Ohio State, but I think it's the Otterbeins, Denison, the Capitals that are constantly turning out people that are able to step right into the workforce. I think Columbus State is a huge asset here. I think they have 32,000 students now, two-year degree and transfer programs. They're getting people ready to get into the workforce. I know that the powers that be in some of these tech facilities have had meetings with Dr. Harrison at Columbus State, you know, imploring and pressing upon them that, hey, some of these kids that are graduating with two-year degrees in the computer technology field, don't just ship them off to Ohio State for another 2 or 3 years. Send them to us. We need those kids. We need the two-year degree kids to do the data input, to man the data centers, to do this work. You know, usually jobs that are $70,000, $80,000 a year with a full benefit package. We need those kids. Then you couple it with, I think, where we have a hand in this, is I think the relations and the relationships here in Columbus and Central Ohio, which are not always good but are always improving and I think are doing a lot better, especially with the developmental community, with the people at Columbus 2020, the Alex Fishers, the Chip Holcombs and those guys. I think they see labor as not the enemy, but as an asset to help them recruit and draw business in. Because it's like Alex Fisher told me, the first thing that a company asks when they reach out to local electeds here or to Columbus 2020 about either relocating, locating, or expanding in Columbus or Central Ohio is, do you have the people to build it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the people to build it? So there's many times that when a CEO or a headhunter or an outreach person, you know, from a Facebook or a place like that reaches out and they say, hey, at the height of this project, we're going to need 600 electricians, 200 welders, 100 sheet metal workers, 50 insulators, 100 laborers, 30 operating engineers. You know, where are we going to get them? They'll come and they'll walk through our training centers and we'll sit down and we'll lay out where we're going to get the people, how we're going to get the people, how we're constantly going to train the people, not only for today and tomorrow, but for the next 7 to 10 years, to make sure they have the people to not only build their facilities, but also to maintain and help expand if that's what they choose to do in the future. So I think that's big, too. I also think a lot of our electeds here, I think we have a lot of people that want to see Columbus grow, want to see Columbus be an economic driver. You know, a good friend of the building trades just got reelected, Mayor Andrew Ginther, you know, constantly says Columbus is America's opportunity city, and he's constantly working with labor to work on programs like our building futures, as are the county commissioners, which fund it, and our pre-apprenticeship and apprenticeship readiness programs, and maybe even some other programming to get people ready to walk right into the workforce and get on that trek path to the middle class.
Working together gets results, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I think it's everybody has a hand in it, and I think we're all trying to work together, and I think that's what helps, and that's what drives it here in Columbus and Central Ohio. That's what I see, at least.
Good stuff. Dorsey, I got to take a break. Dorsey Hager on our live line with the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Also, later in the broadcast, Andy Levin will be joining us. He's a freshman congressman out of Michigan. He's going to talk about protecting the right to organize. He's one of the many people in the House going forward on that issue. It's all part of America's workforce. Back in a few minutes.
If it impacts the livelihood of Ohio's labor trades, you'll find it in the Labor Citizen. America's oldest labor newspaper still provides the most comprehensive coverage of the issues that matter most to Ohio's union construction industry. Each edition includes information many unions use to send out in a monthly newsletter, along with an interesting mix of feature stories and news. The Labor Citizen is a growing force for Ohio's union construction industry. The full-color tabloid is already being delivered to the active members and retirees from nearly 50 different building trade unions. You won't find this level of coverage anywhere else. But the only way to have this valuable monthly publication delivered to your mailbox is if your local union decides to join. If your building trade union is not receiving the Labor Citizen, ask why at your next regular meeting. Or send an email to info@laborcitizen.com for more information. That email address again is info@laborcitizen.com.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
For over 20 years, organized labor has turned to the BMA Media Group for communications and events needs. Because BMA knows how to positively impact labor's issues and spread the union message. The BMA Media Group is a union marketing, public relations, production, and events firm. So BMA Media knows what it takes to help unions capture market share, conduct marketing campaigns, partake in political education, promote labor management, organize membership development, and support issues such as prevailing wage, project labor agreements, responsible contracting, and workforce training. They also plan and produce special events such as conventions, conferences, and anniversary celebrations. The BMA Media Group, marketing union value for you. To learn how the BMA Media Group can assist your labor organization, just visit bmamedia.com. That's www.bmamedia.com for all the labor tools you need to move your union into the future.
Chris LaGrange here, host of UCOM Live with Chris LaGrange. News, talk, sports, and workforce politics. The fastest growing podcast on, in, and around the internet. Join us live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter with archives on UCOMLive.com. Our loud and colorful panelists bring you current events like no other. So follow and subscribe today wherever great podcasts are found.
Good afternoon and welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. Let's go back to our live line, rejoin Dorsey Hager on behalf of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Again, the website, columbusconstruction.org. You should give the Twitter handle out. That's BuildCentralOH, BuildCentralOH. All right, talk to me about election results here. I see there's a fellow by the name of Rob, is it Dorans, that was elected?
Rob Dorans. The highlight of the election season for the building trade, as one of our own, was elected to Columbus City Council. So Rob Dorns, IBEW 683 member, son of an IBEW member, grandson of a plumber pipe fitter. He's also the lead counsel for ACT Ohio, works closely with the Ohio State Building Trades, obviously the political arm of the Ohio State Building Trades. So he works on project labor agreements, labor issues all throughout the state with all of our affiliated building trades, locals, and councils. Tremendous friend of mine. And, you know, we've talked about it before on your show. You know, as people move on from city council, go on to other elected office, you know, we're constantly trying to rebuild relationships and educate people on city council. So one of my first tasks when I got elected to this job as the building trade, I met with our former president, Scott Hammond, our current vice president, Tim Ely, and I said, hey, man, the best way to educate people at City Hall is to get one of our own in there. Let's identify that person. Let's work on that person. Let's try to get them there. And I hatched this crazy scheme. In 2016, I sat down with Rob, got a little buy-in from him, sought out his advice, started working with him closely, and he was appointed to city council in March of this year, was immediately on the ballot, which was quite a challenge. We worked hard, knocked on doors, obviously fundraising, getting him out there, meeting with people, and he and the whole team, there was eight people running for four spots, he and his whole team, Shayla Favor, Emmanuel Remy, another great friend of the building trades, and of course, Liz Brown, the senior senator's daughter from the great state of Ohio, Sherrod Brown's daughter, Liz. They all were successful and got across the finish line. All were reelected city council, so we're so proud of all of them. So proud of all four of them. The building trades worked really hard to make sure that they all were successful, and they all were.
I'll tell you, this is a great thing that's happening in America. I had a conversation with Tim Berger just a couple of days ago about this and how many union brothers and sisters have decided to go into politics, and they're winning. They're winning. That's the great part. Since November, Dorsey, I believe well over 900, close to 1,000 union members have been elected to office, whether it's a city council, a board of education, a member of Congress. In fact, our next guest, Andy Levin, out of Michigan, he's a freshman congressman. He worked with the AFL-CIO and SEIU. So, you know, the only way you're going to get change is to have the right people in office and work the system from within. And it's great to see that's happening. Great to see that happening.
You're exactly right. And I remember way back in the day when I came up as a young business manager in 2003, when I was first elected, I can remember, you know, not really understanding politics or knowing a lot about politics. And it's like an older gentleman told me, who's now a mentor of mine. He said, hey, you either have a seat at the table or you get eaten. It's very simple.
Yeah.
Very simple. So that's why we, you know, and Rob's done a tremendous job already. He's been down there less than a year. Like I said, he just got elected, first time on the ballot, doing a tremendous job building relationships, working with people at City Hall, letting them know what an asset that organized labor can be to help, you know, some of the things that we talked about at the beginning of this segment, you know. Mm-hmm. A couple other people, obviously, I mentioned earlier, Andrew Ginther, you know, he was reelected to a second term, so proud of him, doing a great job. And then a couple other people I want to mention, and I know it's been a highlight in national stories, as we talk about how this blue wave and how the Democratic Party is seeping out into these larger suburbs of these bigger cities, and how they're kind of turning a little bit as people in the suburbs go from red to more moderate, and they start voting more some of their paycheck issues and stuff like that, which is great. Two very good friends of mine in Reynoldsburg, which is a somewhat of a red suburb that is drastically changing blue. Joe Begany, who was the president of Reynoldsburg City School Board, who I worked closely with when I first got elected, and they had a teacher strike out there, and he's a public employee. He's a school teacher with Columbus Public Schools. He decided that he had seen enough, and he ran for mayor. He was elected victorious in his first time running for mayor. And then another tremendous friend of mine, Chris Shook, decided to run for Reynoldsburg City Attorney. He currently works for the Columbus City Attorney, Zach Klein. He lives in Reynoldsburg. He ran for Reynoldsburg City Attorney, and he was elected as well. So very proud of those two guys. You know, I know you and I talked about it leading up into the election, you know, odd year election, some people forget about. But judges, city council people, township trustees, school board members, those are hugely important races and ones that we have to pay attention to because they have a direct effect on our day-to-day life. All of our school board members that we endorsed here in Columbus, Carol Beckerly, Dr. Tina Pierce, James Ragland, Eric Brown, they were all victorious and reelected to the Columbus City School Board, which was great. That was huge. You know, it was just some judges here, Jessica DeVarga, very close friend of mine, went to the same high school in Eastern Ohio as my wife, River High School. She got elected first time to judge. Stephanie Mingo Miles was elected. We had a tremendous relationship with her brother when he was the county auditor, Clarence Mingo. And then Jody Thomas, a tremendous friend of the building trades. He's doing great work here in Columbus. with opioid and the drug court, she was reelected again. So just proud of all those who worked so hard, put their names out there and put their families out there and worked and got elected and continue to serve the public.
I love it. Let's keep that ball rolling. Good stuff. Good stuff. Okay, we just got a couple minutes left here. This healthcare summit, I know you wanted to talk about. Did that happen already, or is that on the books here?
Yeah, we had that here a couple weeks ago. Mike Nisley in the Ohio State Building Trade. I worked closely with him to put on a healthcare summit. It was hosted by our great friends here, IBW Local 683, Chris Evans, Ed Moore, Pat Hook, always letting us have access and use of their wonderful facility here in Columbus. But great, great healthcare summit. A good friend of ours, Tim Barhorst, who's a consultant, works heavily in the healthcare industry, helps people, you know, try to not only keep costs low, but expand coverage and work on the behalf of their members. We had managers, agents, trustees, attorneys, fund managers from all over not only Central Ohio, but the state of Ohio come in here in Columbus a couple weeks ago, spent 6 hours, got to listen to tremendous speakers, all put on by, like I said, our good friend of the building trade, Tim Barhorst. Also, we spent the lunch hour with our speaker, Larry Householder, and the majority whip, Jay Edwards. Not only did they update us on issues at the State House affecting healthcare and our members, they also talked about some other issues, bringing everybody up to speed and up to date. You know, no better friends down at the Capitol than Jay and Larry, and it was great to spend some time with them, too. And I think the guys got a lot out of it. Was really productive, and I'm looking to do more things like that in the future to be able to help some of our managers and some of the day-to-day grind and stuff that they do dealing with some of their health care funds, their pension funds and things like that. So I think it was a great, great opportunity for all of them to learn a lot to where they could be helpful for their members.
All good stuff happening in Central Ohio. Dorsey, I'm going to leave it on that note. Dorsey Hager, Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org. Again, the Twitter handle, Build Central OH. And go Bucks tomorrow night. How about that?
Just going to say that. Go Bucks. Hopefully when we're talking in January, we're talking about the beginning of that playoff run. So hopefully the Bucks can be victorious over Wisconsin again on Saturday night and get a good seed and get in that playoff run for that march to the national championship. Go Bucks. Absolutely.
All right, Dorsey, we're going to leave it on that note. Best of the holiday season. We'll talk to you in January.
Yep. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Have a good holiday season. Thanks, Flash.
All right. That's it for